नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके श्रीमद् भागवतम फोर्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 28. दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज पुरंजना बिकम्स अ वुमन इन द नेक्स्ट लाइफ टेक्स्ट 3. कालकन्यापि भूभुजे पुरंजना पुरं फलात् जया भूतः पुरुषः सत्तो निश्चारताम् या कालकन्यापि भूभुजे पुरंजना परं बला जया भी भूता पुरुषः सत्तो निश्चारताम् या कालकन्यापि भूभुजे पुरंजना पुरं बला जया भी भूता पुरुषः सत्तो निश्चारताम् या कालकन्यापि भूभुजे पुरंजना पुरं बला जया भी भूता पुरुषः सत्तो निश्चारताम् या कन्यापि भूभुजे पुरंजना पुरं बला जया भी भूता पुरुषः Kala Kanya, the daughter of Kala, Api also, Bhu Bhuje, to possession of. Puranjanapuram, the city of Puranjana, Balat, by force, Jaya, by whom, Abhibhutaha, being overwhelmed, Purushaha, a person, Satyaha, immediately, Nisharatam, uselessness, Yat, yet. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Gradually, Kalapanna, with the help of dangerous soldiers, attacked all the inhabitants of Puranjana city and thus rendered them useless for all purposes. Please repeat after me. Gradually, Kalapanna, with the help of dangerous soldiers, attacked all the inhabitants of Puranjana city and thus rendered them useless for all purposes. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. At the fag end of life, when the invalidity of old age attacks a man, his body becomes useless for all purposes. Therefore, Vedic training dictates that when a man is in his boyhood, he should be trained in the process of brahmacharya. That is, he should be completely engaged in the service of the Lord and should not in any way associate with women. When a boy becomes a young man, he marries between the ages of 20 and 25. When he is married at the right age, he can immediately beget strong, healthy sons. Now, female descendants are increasing because young men are very weak sexually. A male child will be born if the husband is sexually stronger than the wife. But if the female is stronger, a female child will be born. Thus, it is essential to practice the system of brahmacharya if one wishes to beget a male child when one is married. When one reaches the age of 50, he should give up family life. At that time, one's child should be grown up so that the father can leave the family responsibilities to him. The husband and wife may go abroad
to live a retired life and travel to different places of pilgrimage. When both the husband and wife lose their attachment for family and home, the wife returns home to live under the care of her grown-up children and to remain aloof from family affairs. The husband then takes sannyas to render some service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the perfect system of civilization. The human form of life is especially meant for God realization. If one is unable to take to the process of Krishna consciousness from the very beginning of his life, he must be trained to accept these principles at the fag end of his life. Unfortunately, there is no training even in childhood, nor can one give up his family life even at the end. This is the situation with the city of Puranjana, figuratively described in these verses. Kalokannapi bubhuje puranjana purang balat jayabhibhuta purushaha sadda nisharatamiyat. Gradually, Kalakanna, with the help of dangerous soldiers, attacked all the inhabitants of Puranjana city and thus rendered them useless for all purposes. So, this is an allegorical narration by Narad Muni to instruct King Prachinabarhi Shat. King Prachinabarhi, the father of the Prachetas, were very attached to materialistic way of life. He was a king of the ruler of the entire earth planet. and he was simply involved in performing sacrifices for the sake of material benefits. But his sons, his 10 sons, the Prachetas, became very advanced devotees. His sons became absorbed in Krishna consciousness, being instructed by Lord Shiva himself. We can see how fortunate they were. They're personally instructed by Lord Shiva on serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead through devotional service. So at that time, Narad Muni took pity upon their father. So this way we can see that when somebody becomes a devotee of Krishna, then great personalities like Narad Muni, who are the perfect representatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, takes pity upon their family members also. So Narad Muni thought the sons became so advanced, and look at the father, he's so deeply engrossed in mundane affairs. So Narad Muni also knew that he would not understand the direct instructions on Krishna consciousness. So he told him this allegorical story of Puranjana. The story of Puranjana is the story of every human being. A living entity, due to his good fortune, gets a human body, which has been symbolized here as the city of 9 gates. It's a city of 9 gates. There are 9 holes in the body. 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 nostrils. Then mouth, anus, and genital. So, city of 9 gates. And in this city of 9 gates, he gets the association of the queen of this city. And who is that? The intelligence of a human being, which is considered to be a very advanced intelligence. The queen of this city of 9 gates is endowed with many qualities. Not only her beauty, but her opulence and associates and all kinds of paraphernalia for enjoyment in this city of 9 gates or in the human body. And Puranjana, being married to the queen, possesses this kingdom, the city of 9 gates. And he tries to enjoy in the city of 9 gates in so many ways. But eventually he is attacked by Kalakanya, the daughter of time. Kalakanya. Kala means time and Kanya means daughter. Daughter of time. So eventually everybody is attacked by the daughter of time. And her attack also is very special. She attacks by embracing the living entity. She embraces a triumph, and as a result of that, the old age appears, Jara. The time embraces us, and eventually, due to her embrace, the body becomes devoid of all strength. And although the human body is protected very nicely by the 5-hooded serpent, a serpent with 5 hoods, and that is the 5 types of air, which is conducting all the activities of the body. And in this way, it's protecting the body. The first consideration is the prana and apana. Prana vayu is retaining the life energy or the soul within the body. And apana vayu is causing all that is undesirable in the body to go out of the body. All the excretion of the body, the excretion of undesirable or contaminated elements, impurities of the body, is casted out of the body through the apana vayu. Then there are three other vayus, samana, vyana and udana. They are controlling our nervous system, our bodily function. So these five types of airs are actually protecting the body, and that has been described that the five-hooded serpent is protecting the city of nine gates. The five-hooded serpent is the five types of airs. And although this serpent is very capable, very powerful to protect the city, but when jara comes, when the old age comes in the body due to the influence of Kalakanya, then this serpent becomes unable to protect the city any longer. And then comes the Javana Raj soldier, attacks the body in various ways in the form of old age and disease. So this is the story of Puranjana. And in this one, it has been described that gradually Kalakanna, with the help of dangerous soldiers, attacked all the inhabitants of Puranjana's city. All the different organs that are so effectively functioning to keep the body active and function properly. Now due to the old age, due to the influence of old age, they become ineffective. The inhabitants of the body become affected by that, the attack, and they are finally defeated actually. The all these vital organs of the body, the heart, lungs, kidney and pancreas, so all stop to function properly due to the effect of time or due to the influence of old age. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is pointing out that how important it is that one gets properly trained up from his young days, from his boyhood, from his early age. And that is the Vedic culture. Kaumaram acharit pragya dharman bhagavatan iha. This Bhagavad Dharma the spiritual culture, the process of becoming connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this training should begin from the early age. And that is the Varnashram system, which is the most scientific process for human society, most scientific way for the civilized human society. The human society is divided into four varnas, the four types of people are classified in this way, four varnas, and then four ashrams, the four phases of life, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. Prabhupada briefly described that in his purport, that the life should begin with brahmachari life, brahmachari. The training to face his life, especially for the higher classes of the varnas, mainly brahmanas, kshatriyas and vaishyas. This training is mainly for these three higher classes, brahmachari, gurukule, vasandantam, gururhitam. He goes to the guru's ashram and there he is trained up by the spiritual master, the guru. And what is the training? Brahma acharati iti brahmachari. Brahma means transcendental. Brahma means spiritual. Brahma means pertaining to the spirit soul and pertaining to the spiritual reality. And ultimately Brahma means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Param Brahma. So there are two worlds, two nature existing side by side. The world of matter and the world of spirit. The body is a combination of these two factors, two things. Living body is a combination of matter and spirit. Matter is dead. Matter is inert. But due to the presence of the spirit soul, this body, living body, functions in a way which is diametrically opposed to the characteristics of matter. Matter is inert, this body is conscious. Matter is dead, this body is alive. So, the real knowledge, the real understanding is that it is the presence of the soul that makes the body alive. And the soul is the real personality. Therefore, it is important to understand that person, the soul. Whereas, Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava Shriman Mahaprabhu Shakhi Prindaki. Whereas in the material nature, everyone is simply concerned about the material aspect, matter. But the spirit soul is beyond matter. Prabhupada used the expression antimatter, actually taking a scientific concept at that time. One scientist received the Nobel Prize because he invented antimatter. And now in Switzerland a big thing is going on, spending trillions of dollars to find out this antimatter. But Prabhupada gave a very simple understanding. Antimatter means opposed to matter, opposite to matter. So antimatter is the soul, which makes matter function in a non-material way. So that is the common sense understanding. But these people are so stupid, so foolish, that they would not listen to the wise words of a self-realized personality. They would rather go on adamantly in their pursuits, by spending incredible amount of money, energy and time. But anyway, those who are wise, those who are intelligent, they understand very simply. Antimatter means spiritual entity. So in the Vedic culture, their main concern was to understand this spiritual entity. It starts with Brahma Jigyasa. Athato Brahma Jigyasa. Now that you got the human form of life, athato, atha, means now that you got this wonderful situation, wonderful opportunity, now that you got this human form of life. Why human form of life is so special? Again, Vedas are pointing out the human form of life provides us with an opportunity to expand our consciousness to an unlimited extent, which no other living entities have. To expand their consciousness to such an extent that one can understand the absolute reality. We are limited, but as a human being, we have the ability to understand the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead in spite of our limitations of our consciousness and intelligence. So therefore, athato brahma jigyasa. Brahma jigyasa, inquire about the spiritual reality, Brahma. And that is why it is brahmachari. And eventually he becomes brahmana. Brahma acharati, practicing this spiritual reality or spiritual process, is brahma acharan, or one who practices his brahmachari. But when one understands that Brahman, Brahma janati iti brahmana, then he becomes a brahmana, when he understands the spiritual reality. And the process begins at a very young age. He studies under the guidance of self-realized souls. Gyaninas tattva darshinah. Darshinah. Darshan means to see. Not intellectually conceived, but spiritually perceived that reality. They are the tattva darshinah. Upadekshanti te jnanam. He imparts the knowledge unto the deserving candidate. And what is the qualification? What is the eligibility of receiving this knowledge? Pranipatena padiprashnena sevaya. Tadviddhi pranipatena pariprashnena shevaya. Krishna himself is giving the process. Approach that self-realized soul in a submissive attitude, pranipatena, falling down at his feet. That means giving up all sense of pride and vanity, or the self-esteem, false ego, pranipatena. Offering pranipat or pranati literally means falling at his feet with total submission. Pariprashnena, and then inquire with all sincerity and serve him, sevaya. Then upadikshanti te jnanam. Then he imparts the knowledge, he gives the knowledge. So the way to receive that knowledge is this process, and approaching that personality in a humble state of mind, with all sincerity to understand that subject. And then he imparts the knowledge. And there, this knowledge also is not received by memory and intelligence. It's not a mental and intellectual perception. It is a realization. Divya Gyan Hride Prakashita. The transcendental knowledge is revealed in the heart. And that is the purport of Upadekshanti. Upadekshanti. He imparts the knowledge. And as a result of that, the knowledge is revealed in the heart. That's why we see sometimes a person who can't even read or write, but receive self-realization. Like one such wonderful example through his pastimes, of course, is Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Apparently he was an illiterate, but he was such a self-realized personality that the greatest scholar of that time, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, decided to accept initiation from him. The greatest scholar of that time, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, realized that this knowledge is not a matter of mental and intellectual accumulation, but it is a matter of receiving the knowledge from a self-realized soul as an expression of his mercy. And that is how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was instructed actually by Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Very submissively he asked his father, who should I take initiation from? And Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur guided him to go to Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Another wonderful example is when Mahaprabhu came across that Brahmana in South India reading Bhagavad Gita. From the way he was conducting himself, it was obvious that he was illiterate. He couldn't read. But tears were flowing from his eyes, holding Bhagavad Gita. And people were mocking, laughing at him, because they knew that this guy is illiterate and they thought that he's just pretending. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recognized. And Mahaprabhu very earnestly asked him, what is there that is affecting you so much that tears are incessantly flowing from your eyes? And that person admitted that I can't read. But my guru told me to read Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, although I cannot read, I just hold on to Bhagavad Gita and whenever I open the Bhagavad Gita, whenever I hold the Bhagavad Gita, the thought comes to my mind that the Lord is so merciful that He Himself is instructing Arjuna about this knowledge. So although I cannot receive the knowledge word for word, but just that thought, just that perception of Lord's mercy overwhelms me and I can't control my tears. And then what was Mahaprabhu's response? You are the real reader of Bhagavad Gita. You are the real reader of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita cannot be studied or understood by scholarship. Bhagavad Gita can be understood only by devotion. And that's why we see Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita is so effective. Because through Bhaktivedanta purport, the devotion is becoming manifest and whoever is reading it is becoming affected by that, and as a result of that his life is changing by reading Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. So this is the simple process. And this must begin from the early age. But Prabhupada also is saying in the purport, it doesn't matter. If your life didn't begin, if your spiritual life didn't begin at the early age, doesn't matter. Whenever you are, whenever you come across, whenever you're ready, just accept it. Start it at that point. Never too late. Never too late. Just begin whenever you come across, whenever you recognize the importance of this process of Krishna consciousness. Just accept it. And what is the qualification? Tatra loulam matram mullam ekalam. Greed, the willingness to understand it. The eagerness to receive this understanding and acting accordingly. Practicing the process with all sincerity. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? Yes.
Usually women, due to being more emotional, are considered less intelligent. So why is intelligence always described in the scriptures as female?
I couldn't get that. What?
Women, due to being more emotional, are considered less intelligent.
Prabhupada said, women are more
emotional,
and
therefore Prabhupada says they're considered less intelligent. Prabhupada says in one purport that women are considered less intelligent.
Less intelligent, okay.
But in the scriptures in Bhagavad Gita, and here we heard that intelligence is described as female. Can you explain that? Because I don't understand.
Okay, this is the allegorical, point that the soul, you see, who is actually controlling the body? This is the city of nine gates, the body. And who is actually controlling the body, or, who is the controller of the body? The intelligence. Therefore, she is the queen of the body. The soul is the male, and the intelligence is the queen of the body. He is the king, and she is the queen in this kingdom of this body.
But also in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says women are five speeds, intelligence, and some other things.
Yeah, the intelligence is considered to be feminine, whereas the spirit soul is masculine. That way. Yes.
You were describing, Maharaj, about the Dibhugyan, Ride Prakashito, that knowledge which is imparted by the Guru through training. What's the relationship between Dibhugyan, that Gyan, and love or bhakti? Is it something different?
Well, in a way it is different. Just like bhakti is the mother. And Jnana is the son of the mother. Bhakti Devi has two sons, Jnana and Vairagya, knowledge and renunciation. So they accompany the mother wherever the mother goes. So the point is, wherever there is devotion, knowledge and renunciation are automatically going to become manifest there. Like, you can see there is some difference, but this difference is very subtle. Like understanding and then love. Love is based on knowledge, because unless and until we know who he is, how can we love him? Unless we understand how to love him, how can we love him? So the knowledge is an inseparable factor, no doubt about that, the Dibhugyan. But the Dibhugyan is actually the knowledge about the spiritual reality with Krishna in the center. Otherwise that knowledge also is not complete unless and until it reaches Krishna. Brahma, Paramatma, Bhagavan. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan. Iti Shabda. So in Bhagavan, that knowledge becomes perfect, perfectly manifest. Yes?
Some? In the purport, Srila Prabhupada is speaking about after the age of 50, about renouncing family life and like that. Sometimes when we are traveling and preaching, meeting devotees who are older by age and they are living with their families and the family are also devotees. So sometimes they raise the argument why it is necessary to renounce. We can stay nicely with family because they are devotees anyway. They are worshipping Krishna. So what yeah. Prabhupada means by this?
You see, that was in the normal social situation, right? But when it comes to ISKCON, in that context, it's actually different. Because ISKCON itself is a spiritual institution. So whoever comes here is spiritually situated. Like, say when one is already involved in Krishna consciousness, then, you know, like, what, irrespective of his age, he is situated in the ashram. If he can retire at the age of 50, well and good. But the thing is, it's not really of absolute importance. Ashram, in Prabhupada pointed out, like, ashram situation is not very important for us. For example, Prabhupada said, in ISKCON, even the householders are brahmacharis. So, because they are leading a pure life. They are already leading a life with Krishna in the center. Therefore, when one practices Krishna consciousness properly, he is situated in a transcendental situation. Therefore, ISKCON, we have to understand that that ISKCON is a very, very special arrangement of Srila Prabhupada. And in whichever way we are situated in ISKCON is a spiritual situation. It looks like there's a question from the internet. This question came from Lakshmi Narayan Das from Dhaka. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, what are the requirements and guidelines for someone ready to enter Vanaprastha? Good, very good question. The Prabhupada pointed out that the requirement for Vanaprastha is that the children are grown up. The children now can take care of the family affairs, and handing over the responsibility to the children, now you can walk away, either alone or along with your wife. If you can't take your wife with you, then your son or sons should be qualified or capable of taking care of their mother. So it should not be done irresponsibly. Like getting married at the age of 45 and then taking Vanaprastha at 50 when your child is only 2 years old. No. Like Prabhupada, in this purport actually Prabhupada pointed out that the boys used to get married at the age of 20 to 25. The prime of the youth, they got married. So therefore, when they were 50 years old, the sons and daughters were in their 20s. The daughters are married, sons are properly situated in their life. They also married. Now why live at home? Just quit. But nowadays what is happening? People are getting married at the age of 35, 40. I remember when I was young, if a girl became 25 years old, it was considered a big thing in the
Oh, she is 25 years old and not married. But nowadays, you ask a 25-year-old girl to get married, and her response is, let me enjoy my life a little bit. Why should I get married now? I just finished my studies. Let me live my life a little bit. They don't want to get married because they think, oh, getting married means getting entangled, losing my freedom, and so forth. I'm 5 minutes beyond. Anyway, I'll just answer this question and I'll end. This is from Joyesh Das from Calcutta. Unless one gets the Divya Gyan, one cannot start bhakti. On the other hand, bhakti is the mother and of knowledge. So my question is, which is one of these two is independent? Bhakti, the unique thing about bhakti is that it is the means and also the end. Bhakti is the beginning and bhakti is the ultimate end, ultimate goal. So, bhakti, in sadhana bhakti, sadhana bhakti stage, one is practicing, and at prema bhakti stage is perfecting. So, bhakti is the means and the goal. So it's all bhakti, bhakti and bhakti. Now as you start bhakti, you get some gyan. But when you accomplish the ultimate bhakti, prema bhakti, then that gyan becomes fully manifest. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande.